Today's reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 28. Please follow along in your own Bibles or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 28. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Over the years in my day job as a psychologist, I have worked with people who feel like they are not normal, who think that there is something wrong with them. They think that they are broken, different, and as a result, they feel like they do not fit with the people around them, that they do not belong with others because they feel things differently, or they think about things in a different way than the people around them. They say things like, "I'm scared all the time of what others think of me. I'm always worried about my life and everything that happens around me. I'm always in emotional pain." They carry an ailment or experience that set them apart from others, which can be an actual illness, a feeling of brokenness, trauma, psychological pain, or it could be painful lived experiences related to their background, where they come from, the color of their skin, the country of origin, their gender or social status. The truth is that many people walk around feeling like they do not belong anywhere. And yet this experience is not unique to people who seek professional counseling. Most people at some point in their lives will deal with a condition, experiences, and circumstances that produce pain, like losing a loved one, having broken relationships, losing a job, getting a chronic illness, being a victim of abuse or a victim of discrimination, or not having what they want, like a spouse or a child, safe housing, or legal status. These experiences can make people feel different from others, or can make those around them want to take a distance from them because they do not relate to their situation or do not want to be close to the pain and grief of the person. And we know that people look at different things to try to alleviate their pain and solve their situation. They may try substances, medicine, pleasures, money, relationships, unhealthy habits, professional help, psychics, etc., without getting real relief. Maybe that is you. But what if a miracle could change your situation? We are in a sermon series called The Miracles of Jesus, showing the world the love, power, and authority of God. And all throughout scripture, we read about Jesus performing miracles. He demonstrated undeniable compassion for people as he healed the sick, the paralyzed, the blind, and the suffering. His miracles not only demonstrated that he was all power and authority, but they were invitations to faith and tangible ways of for people to see that he is the God who came to love us, forgive us, and reconcile us back to him. In fact, Jesus' miracles point us to what life in the kingdom of God is all about. And today, we will look at the account of a woman in the Bible who was desperate and who lost all hope because of the predicament she found herself in. This woman was looking for a miracle. From this account, we will learn that in God's kingdom, there are no social hierarchies. In God's kingdom, We can come as we are. In God's kingdom, we receive complete healing. We find the account of this desperate woman in what is known as the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and Mark, meaning the eyewitness accounts that are similar in style and in the way they told the stories of Jesus, compared to the Gospel according to John. Let's turn to Mark 5:21, who includes more details of the account. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him in the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. In his gospel, Mark tells us that Jesus had gone to the region of the Decapolis, where he healed a demon-possessed man. But the crowds did not like how he performed the miracles, so they asked Jesus to leave. Jesus got in a boat with his disciples and went to the other side of the lake, which was the Sea of Galilee, most probably in the region known as Capernaum. When he arrived at the other side, a crowd was already waiting for him. But then a man who was a leader in the local synagogue named Jairus comes to Jesus and falls down at his feet, pleading for Jesus to come and heal his little daughter who was dying. Jesus agreed to go with the man, and the crowd followed them. Mark tells us that all the people were crowding around Jesus, an interesting detail to highlight. Have you ever felt crowded by people? I have. I remember riding the subway during rush hour to go to work in New York when I was living there. I felt like I was in a can of sardines. You can hardly move. Feeling crowded in the morning was amusing, but not at night when I was tired and coming home. Well, according to Mark, people are crowding tightly around Jesus as they are following him. So Jesus is feeling a lot of contact from people in the crowd, whether they wanted to intentionally touch him or not. As Mark is telling the account of this religious leader asking Jesus to heal his daughter and Jesus agreeing to go to his house, Mark interrupts the account to point out that in the crowd, there was also a woman who had suffered for 12 years from constant bleeding. Many people were following Jesus because they wanted to be healed. They wanted a miracle. They were intrigued by Jesus, or they wanted to hear his message. So why does Mark and the other two gospel writers interrupt the account and mention this particular woman? Why was it so relevant to single her out from the crowd? This takes me to the first point. In the kingdom of God, there are no social hierarchies. The first thing that we notice is that in contrast to mentioning Jairus by name, who was also seeking for a miracle, this woman is unnamed. Her anonymity may have communicated her standing in society. She's not as important or regarded as this religious leader. Not mentioning her name highlights the fact that God knows that there are people in this fallen world who are considered less than by the culture and society, that there are people who in the eyes of others are nameless, not important, not valued. It makes me think of the countless people who live in the margins, in situations of oppression, in situations of war and poverty, or who are disabled. The world may not regard you as worthy, as human, but God does. The world does not see you, but God does. The world may not know your name, but God does. In addition to being unnamed, we read that she is a woman. We know that in the first century Roman world, women were regarded as second-class citizens. On top of that, she has been bleeding nonstop for 12 years. The gospel writers do not specify what is her specific ailment or reason for her bleeding. There are several theories of what is this woman may have been experiencing. Some scholars think that it could have been menorrhagia, which is a menstrual period with heavy flow. a bleeding disorder where there are problems with the process of blood clotting, or it could have been cervical or ovarian cancer. Regardless of the cause of her ailment, there were religious and social implications with her medical problem. In the book of Leviticus 15, we read, if a woman has a flow of blood for many days that is unrelated to her menstrual period, or if the blood continues beyond the normal period, she is ceremonially unclean. Any bed she lies on and any object she sits on during the time will be unclean, just as during her normal menstrual period. If any of you touch these things, you will be ceremonially unclean. You must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. When the woman's bleeding stops, she must count off 7 days. Then she will be ceremonially clean. On the 8th day, she must bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and present them to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. The condition of this woman rendered her ceremonially unclean, according to Jewish law. Bible commentators explain that the practices around cleanliness and uncleanness set the people of God apart from other nations and enable them to live in the presence of a holy God. Uncleanness did not necessarily mean sinful or immoral, but it represented a kind of unworthiness that cannot come in contact with what is holy. The sin offering was better understood as a purification offering. Hence, why people who were ceremonially unclean were not able to come to the temple to worship. And just to clarify, these laws are also applied to other bodily discharges described in Leviticus, so they are not solely for women. We can understand that this woman's condition may have impacted her normal interactions in society. And the woman in the audience can relate to some aspects of this woman's predicament. I mean, I remember being terrified of having a stain in my clothes every time I had my period. It's such an embarrassing situation. So you want to be very careful, checking your clothes all the time. Now imagine her predicament. She had to be aware of her clothing at all times. She had to be worried about what others would think of her if they saw her clothes stained. She had to worry about people not wanting to touch her, become unclean if they touch any object that had come in contact with her blood. And she probably could not marry because of her condition either. Now, how many people carry a condition that makes them feel unclean, broken, and unworthy of being accepted and even loved? Maybe it's literally a medical problem like the one this woman had. And I know people who suffer from medical conditions but are not believed and not attended properly by medical doctors. They may be criticized or blamed by others for their ailment. Maybe you have a medical condition like this. Maybe it is your psychological health. Maybe you have been suffering from depression, anxiety, and this is alienating you from those around you. Maybe you have been struggling with the sequelae of a trauma in your life and you feel like you're broken and feel like you're damaged goods. Maybe you have been dealing with addiction. Maybe you think that if people see who you really are, if they see what's under the hood of your life, they will reject you and run away from you. Or maybe you feel like you are somehow cursed and everything you touch crumbles and gets damaged. The other thing that we notice is that the author of Mark says that she had spent all of her money seeking healing from doctors with no result, which probably indicated that she was or had become poor. Nothing had helped her. This woman was at the bottom of society and she was desperate because everything she tried had failed. And Bible commentators believe that Mark is making a contrast between the status of Jairus and the status of this woman. Jairus is a man and a respected church leader, while this woman is at the bottom of the barrel. And yet her story is mentioned by the gospel writers because in God's kingdom, there are no social hierarchies. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans 2:11, for God does not show favoritism. Even though these two characters are from different places in society, they both come looking for a miracle. It takes me to the second point. In the kingdom of God, you can come as you are. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. In desperation, despite her condition, her standing in society, she's determined to touch Jesus. She had tried everything, but nothing had worked. In fact, Mark stresses that her condition had gotten worse. Have you been at the end of your rope? Have you had a situation that does not seem to get better? You have tried everything, but things are getting worse and worse. There's a relational conflict that you sought to resolve in different ways, but things are just getting worse. Maybe you're trying to resolve your immigration status, but you don't see an end in sight. Maybe you have tried different treatments for your medical problems, but your condition continues to deteriorate, and now you have other issues. Maybe you have sought help with infertility and spent a lot of money and have had miscarriages. Maybe you have tried to change yourself, promising not to do the things you said you would not do, but you do them anyway, and things just get worse. Maybe you have tried to help your family members, but they keep getting deeper into their problems. The woman with the bleeding problem was desperate, but she had not lost faith completely. She had all the conditions to believe that she was unworthy of approaching Jesus. She was unworthy of touching him. As commentators point out, this is perhaps why, unlike Jairus, who approached Jesus directly, she's coming from behind the crowd and does not intend to address Jesus or ask him for healing. She's just thinking about touching the edge of his cloak. But by doing so, she was risking the humiliation and reproach that may have gotten if she got caught touching Jesus. And yet, Jesus was worth the risk. She had lost everything, but she believed that Jesus was the answer. She had heard about Jesus' miracles and wonders. She had heard about his power. Mark highlights this woman's faith. She talked to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." I imagine her thinking to herself, "He does not have to know. I don't have to ask him directly. I don't have to interrupt him or waste his time with my illness, my pain, my problem. Just a tiny part of him can heal me. He's that powerful." What a powerful testimony of faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the answer for your pain, your suffering, your problems? Do you believe that if you reach out to touch him, you will be healed? What gets in the way of you reaching out to him? Sometimes we are in church but still have not reached out to him to let him heal parts of our story. There are areas of our life that we have exiled because they are too painful, too shameful, and nothing that we tried has helped to bring healing. So we keep them buried, but they do not leave us completely and still affect us and our relationships. There are people who do not bring their problems to God because they think that God is not interested in solving them or are afraid of God's reaction because of what they have done. He has more important things to take care of. But no condition, no position in society is an impediment to reach out to Jesus and touch him. We can come as we are, but we need to seek him, to push through the crowd of objections, opinions, fears, and what ifs in order to reach Jesus. Mark continues his account. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. This woman's faith was rewarded immediately. Can you imagine how she must have felt? After years of struggling, after years of pain and discomfort, after countless remedies, she's finally free from her ailment. But her healing was not complete yet, which takes me to my third point. In God's kingdom, we receive complete healing. Jesus realized at once the healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Why did Jesus stop? Why did he have to ask who touched his clothes? Isn't he all-knowing? Moreover, he's going to heal the daughter of an important religious leader. He was on his way to do God's work, but yet he stops. He asks and he waits. We see that Jesus is interruptible. What a kind and loving God. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. She was already healed from the bleeding problem. Can you imagine her fear when Jesus asked the crowd and kept looking? Was she going to get into trouble for touching him? What an embarrassment to be called out in public, to be signaled out in front of that crowd when so many other people were touching Jesus as well. But notice her courage in coming forward to tell her story. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Jesus stopped to ask. It is as if he wanted the crowd to know her story. Jesus recognized the emotional and psychological impact of her ailment, and he wanted to restore her completely. As writer and Bible teacher Noemi Vega Quiñones explains, Jesus wanted to restore her in society because healing is experienced in community. He wanted her and everyone to know that she belonged. She had probably been isolated and living in shame. My former mentor, trauma psychiatrist Judy Herthman, said, "All trauma can be reduced to isolation and shame, and recovery has to do with socialization, testimony, and witness." Jesus knew that she was seeking healing, and he wanted to give her the healing that she needed the most. Jesus knew the power of telling our story to God and others in our healing process. We cannot heal and grow in isolation. God made us in his image, and he is a community in himself. Therefore, in our healing process, he restores us into his community. In spiritual community, we can grow in our faith and experience healing by receiving God's love and grace through our brothers and sisters. While in the gospel account, this woman is unnamed, Jesus calls her daughter. He's the Son of God, and he's calling her daughter. She was considered a second-class citizen in her time, unclean and unworthy. She may have felt isolated and without a sense of belonging, but Jesus calls her daughter. Because of her faith in Jesus, immediately she's adopted into the family of God. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter, you have no longer to live in desperation, in pain, in isolation. Daughter, know that I have made you well. Jesus restored her identity, daughter. In John chapter 1, verse 12, we read, "But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." No matter how the world regards you, no matter your background, your condition, your past, if you believe in Jesus, you become a child of God and are part of his family. We're all created in his image, but it's only when we believe and receive him that we become children of God. This is our new identity, daughters and sons of the Most High. Not too long ago, I saw that there were a lot of comments on social media about the speech of this year's Tony Awards for lead actress in a musical, Nicole Scherzinger, who is an American singer and actress of Native American, Ukrainian, and Filipino descent. Because I'm on the curious side, I watched her speech. She started thanking God for caring for her every step of the way. She thanked her mother for having her at 18 and giving everything up to take care of her. But what really caught my attention was this line. She said, "Growing up, I always felt like I did not belong." Is this not what many people feel? Many believe that no one cares about them, but God does. God cares about our bodies. He cares about our pain, about our problems. But ultimately, God wants to heal our relationship with him. He wants to restore his image in us. This is the complete healing that we need. People may try different things to alleviate their pain, their brokenness, but nothing and no one can give us the true healing that we need except Jesus. But we need to believe in him. Daughter, son, your faith has made you well. He wants us to seek him, to push through the crowd of doubt, discouragement, and despair, fear, and touch him. You may be approaching Jesus because of a medical situation, or because you wanted him to solve a problem for you. But know that God wants to give you healing beyond the situation you think he needs to solve. He wants to bring healing and restoration to your life for eternity. Maybe you don't get the healing or the answer to your prayer in this life. Many do not. In fact, the Bible does not assert that Jesus healed every single person who came in contact with him. But know that the miracle we most need is accessible to us right now. It is loving communion with God, forgiveness for our sins, and the adoption into his family. And to be part of God's family is to believe and expect that one day all things will be made right. Our bodies, our traumas, our pains, our relationships, the world, because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross and with his resurrection. In the miracle of the bleeding woman, we learn both from Jesus and from this woman's posture. This miracle shows us what life is like in the kingdom of God. First, in his kingdom, there are no social hierarchies. We are called co-heirs in Christ Jesus. Paul says in Romans 8:17, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." Regardless of our background, in this earth, we are of high value to God because of Jesus' sacrifice that restores our relationship with our Creator and Redeemer. This knowledge also challenges us to examine how we treat the people around us. Are we treating our brothers and sisters as co-heirs in Christ, even if they come from different backgrounds? Are we approaching people who are different from us and have different beliefs than us as people created in God's image? Second, in God's kingdom, we do not need to fix ourselves to come to Jesus. We can come as we are. We can reach out to him to be healed. In the kingdom of God, God cares about our ultimate healing. Touching Jesus brings you healing. Come to him, seek him, bring to him all areas of your life and let him heal you. From the woman, we learn the power of faith, the courage to approach God, even when we think we are unworthy, because brothers and sisters, we all are. We're not able to bring salvation and restoration for ourselves. And yet there are people in society that they are made to believe that they are far more unworthy of God's love. If that is you, I invite you to approach Jesus and touch him. Like this woman, you're invited to push through the crowds of society, your family's expectations, and even the crowds of feelings like fear, doubt, and hopelessness to get a hold of him. We also learn from this woman the courage to speak the truth of what is happening in our lives. God cares about our story and wants us to share the truth of what is happening in our lives with him and with others. Whether it is a situation that we experience like trauma, a situation of oppression or injustice, God invites us to share our story with him and others. We are encouraged to find communities of faith in which we can share our stories, communities who can bear witness to our stories, where we can find healing, because sharing our story is part of our healing process. If you're struggling, if you're doubting, if you have been isolating or attempted to isolate, I invite you to make Community City Church your community. I have seen the power of sharing our faith and our stories in community through life groups where people share their struggles, receive encouragement, provision, and prayer. And I have seen answered prayers and people growing in their faith. I myself experienced healing parts of my life, in particular negative beliefs about myself, by working through conflicts with others in the community. I've been hesitant to bring up things that bother me for fear of conflict. However, when I have received grace, acknowledgement, and forgiveness. This woman's story is recorded in 3 gospel accounts, and her story has been told over centuries. What about you? What is your story? Are there parts of you, parts of your story that need healing? How is your faith? How is God inviting you to contribute to our healing and to be community where others can find healing? God is still doing miracles today, and his miracles continue to point to his kingdom. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." Church, we are now the body of Christ on this earth until he returns, participating in his kingdom, being instruments of God in praying for miracles for both our lives and the lives of those around us. Church, he uses us to bring healing to others. We are valuable to him. Let us commit to each other by participating in community, by joining life groups, by connecting with each other during the week, by email, phone calls, visits, or texts. Let us serve each other when people are in need. Join the dream team and work with others in the different ministries here at church. And let us consider the ways in which we are extending our attention, our love, and our time to those who are hurting and to those who are considered less than in our culture. Let me pray for us. Lord, who loves us, thank you. Thank you for what your Son did for us in the cross and his resurrection. Thank you for showing us your kingdom through your Son. Thank you for the healing and reconciliation you bring us. Lord, may we have the confidence, the faith, and the courage to approach you to obtain the healing that we need. Amen. With eyes still closed, maybe you're hearing about the meaning of Jesus' miracles for the first time and you realize that you have not reached out to Jesus yet, despite the pain that you carry, and you want to do it today because you do want to have a relationship with God. You want to experience his healing and you want to be part of his family. Jesus is waiting with stretched arms to receive you. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, forgive me for all my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you are part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org. to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to help you grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord.